time for Hype and Nonsense. As live as they want to be from California, here's Sean and Jen.
So a blog is called a blog, and a video blog is called a vlog.
Yeah.
But an audio blog
is called a podcast.
Why not call it a log?
Because English is fun.
We just invented a logs. Enjoy. Welcome to Hyper Nonsense. We are the podcast that comes to you straight from the heart of California. And I don't know why all of a sudden as we start to record this pod, it sort of sounds like I've been hitting the Marlboro Reds all day. Marlboro?
I don't even know. I think you're talking about cigarettes. I get that. And no, you haven't been smoking. I'm pretty sure I haven't. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, and I don't feel, I feel like this just started.
Well,
this is
lucky you, I don't know.
This is the universe's way of telling me I need to just quit pods.
Well, you've done that before.
It's telling
and
me.
And here we are, so.
It's telling me through, you know, I've been smited by the Pope, I think is what we can.
No.
The Pope decided.
No. No.
Mm-hmm. What do they have? Don't they have powers? I was thinking earlier today, for no good reason, about how for a while in the Europe, they had this thing called the Holy Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
But if I remember from my history, my world history class that I took two semesters of in fake college, that the Holy Roman Empire wasn't really a thing. Like, it was more like, because it was after the actual Roman Empire, of course,
mm-hmm.
because they didn't have Jizo in the original Roman Empire.
Right.
So, it was like a thing where, you know, this guy, like a guy named Giuseppe rode a horse from, like, the Vatican to Venice in the name of the Holy Roman Empire. And, like, he got there, and, like, all these other cities were like, hey, that sounds pretty cool. We should be a part of that. So then they made this thing called the Holy Roman Empire.
I don't think that's quite how things went.
But it didn't really do anything. Okay. They didn't, like, go off and, like, conquer countries or anything. I could be wrong.
I think you might be wrong. Yeah, I think I'd have to look this up, but my best guess is that the Holy Roman Empire relates to Roman Catholicism as opposed to Orthodox Catholicism.
Well, all I know is a long time ago, like 20 years ago, my old friend Ronnie that I've mentioned before on the show, he and I were in a band together, a metal band, and as bands are wont to do, we were going through one of our kind of deconstructive / reconstructive phases. And he said, yeah, we should rename the band Holy Roman Empire. And I said, that's the worst thing I've ever heard come out of your mouth, Ronnie, and I've known you since you were 3. Thankfully, we didn't rename our band Holy Roman Empire. So, how are you doing tonight, Jen?
I'm okay. I have no energy at all, but that's really the biggest problem.
Well,
so that's manageable, I guess. I just do things slowly today.
I don't either, and it's probably at least directly related to the fact that, you know, I'm starting to sound like Cheryl Murkowski over here.
Maybe.
With what?
Yeah.
The only thing I can figure is I was just down. I mean, part of the reason that I don't have a lot of energy is I was at a thing all day long, and it was a good thing, but it also was, you know, I had to, like, move tables around and stuff, and it just, I was awake early, and I'm tired, You know, when you do things all day, you get tired, especially when you're old like me. And your body's slowing down, and it's only a matter of
time. You're not that old. I mean, come on.
So, I was in the wonderful hamlet of Oceano, California. And as you might have guessed, Oceano is not just a clever name. It's right over by this thing we have called the ocean. We have it in California. And they also have it in Oregon and Washington State. I mean, the Pacific Ocean. They have other oceans in other states, but we don't care about those. Some of you who are listening to this, you don't have oceans. So, I'm sorry for you, but it's your own fault. You can move. So, I was in the wonderful hamlet of Oceano, California earlier today. And I was actually in, of all places, an RV park.
Which is different from a mobile home park. How?
So I was at an RV park, and as listeners of this show and shows previous to this that were this show and not this show know, Jen and I live in a mobile home park, a.k.a. a trailer park. Yes, that's right, because we're just killing it in life.
But most of the ones here, and when we moved in, there were some actual trailers
here. Yeah, there was at least
and
one.
And there's none now. It's all in a little some
of
homes.
Some of the units in this park, they're, to call them a mobile home is really a fallacy. Some of them are more like manufactured houses. Ours is older, so it really does look like a trailer, but like you would think of one. But these, all of the units here where we live, they ain't going nowhere. They will sit in one spot until they're eventually replaced, either by a new mobile home or by, I'm sure, the eventual condos or townhomes that they'll build here when they sell this place out from underneath us, probably right after we finish paying off our mortgage. So, the place I was at today, though, was a real honest-to-goodness, old-fashioned, pull up your motor coach or your travel trailer, plug it in and hang out for a while kind of place. And some people stay there, you know, pretty long-term. I mean, they're effectively living there, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that if that's the lifestyle you want. But it's really the first time I'd been in one of these, and I don't actually think we have any left here in the city of San Luis Obispo, but in surrounding environs, especially down by the beach, which is where I was today. And I think while I was there, I just had, you know, it wasn't like super windy, but when you're that close to the beach and all the sand and whatnot, there's just a certain amount of particulate matter in the air that you can't get rid of unless it rains. And it doesn't rain in California anymore. It used to. We'll talk about it in the ways that I think, I would imagine people used to talk about, like, the streetcars in Chicago and Philadelphia and places like that where they used to have streetcars, or back when you used to get dressed up to the nines just to go see a show down at the movie house. That's how we'll talk about rain in California. We'll be like, oh, yeah. We remember what that was like, but it's gone now. It's never coming back. So I was at this place, and, you know, I'm walking around. I had a break where I was walking around with a couple of my friends. And one of my friends, actually, I think he stayed there before. He used to own a motor coach. This is my same friend, by the way, that came over here and rescued her tuna.
Right, because it was behind the stove. It was in a can, which makes things sound a lot less icky, but yep. Anyway.
And we were walking around, and, you know, he was telling me how that RV park had changed. So I went and got a cough lolly. That's what they call them in other countries.
Oh,
we
really?
Just call them cough drops here.
Okay, sure.
But in those other countries, they'll go, oh, have a cough lolly.
Okay.
So, I'm having a cough lolly.
And he's become the queen somehow, too, while he's at it.
We were walking around, and he was telling me about how it was changed. And there was this dude that was just sitting outside his travel trailer or whatever. And I was really surprised at this. I mean, this RV park, they had a little shop in there. And I had ducked in there earlier just to kind of see what they had. I was curious. A lot of the stuff you'd expect. Some snack foods, various drinks, ice, that kind of stuff. You couldn't be like, oh, I'm going to do my week's worth of groceries here. If that's what you were inclined to do. At least I hope not. I mean, if you're really living off of, I don't know, Lipton iced tea and M&M's. I mean, y'all can do what you want with your lives, but I just feel like from a nutritional perspective, that ain't so good. And I noticed when I was in this shop that they had these bundles of coaxial cable. Like you'd hook up with your TV, you know, if you have a TV and you have the cable or the satellite dish or you got an antenna or whatever you got. And I thought, wow, that's weird. Who needs that in an RV park? But they had enough of them that, there must have been a reason why. And I went and as we're walking around, I noticed that there was a lot of these travel trailers and motor coaches and stuff. They had satellite dishes next to them. So that's a thing you can do. I mean, it just made me realize that, you know, if you want to live a minimal lifestyle, you can do it, but you can still have all the stuff you can have if you just want to have a house. And I asked my friend when he stayed at one of these, because I said, well, what did it cost to stay here when you were here? And I think he said it was around $400 a month. Now, that was also about 15 years ago, so those rates are probably higher now. But the thing is, you know, if you want to have a simple life, you go out, you get yourself a trailer or a motor coach or whatever. I mean, you save up your money, you buy one of them, then you can go and live in one of these places. It ain't fancy. But it's got to be better than living in some crap apartment somewhere, paying $1,500 a month for rent.
Right. And with apartments, you know, they can change the rent anytime, and the landlord can come into your apartment and walk around anytime they want, like legally, you know? They can come in if they feel like they have a reason to. Now, honest people only come in if, like, you're on the second floor and the apartment below you has noticed that, like, water is coming in through their ceiling, you know, then they'll go up and maybe try to turn the water off. But they don't necessarily all have to be, you know, good reasons for them to come in. They can just do it. And that's why I'll never rent again.
So this dude is just sitting outside his travel trailer. You know, just sitting probably in like a plastic lawn chair or whatever. I don't know. And we're walking by. And he's just one of these guys that just anytime somebody walks by, he goes, how are you doing? And we just kind of turned to him and said, hey, we're doing all right. And just kept walking. But I thought, hey, you know, this guy's got it worked out. Just hanging out at the travel trailer, at the RV park all day. What else you need to do? You go out. You go out to the beach. You can walk to the beach. Figured it out. You beat life. Well done, sir. Well done. I feel like my voice is recovering now, thanks to the magical properties of cough lollies.
Well,
I'd like to take a moment to thank the people at Halls, the makers of Mental Liptis. That's not... mine are cherry flavored. I don't know what Mentoliptus is, where that comes from.
It sounds... I don't know off the top of my head.
Vaguely medical in nature.
I was thinking it sounded like eucalyptus.
Is it a mixture of menthol and eucalyptus?
I don't know. I'd have to look that up.
Speaking of cigs, isn't that what they put in smokes? Menthols.
I really don't know.
We're not SIG literate.
I could look all this stuff up if you really want, but I don't think you care that much. Yeah. You don't want to hear the clicking keyboard thing. Yeah,
Captain Clackety Clack over there.
Yeah, well, you can mute my mic while I look it up if you really, really, really want that information now. But I don't think you do.
So, on the last pod, we're back in the studio. Wasn't obvious. Our last time, we were in the midst of a heat wave. But now we're back. We're nailing it. Might be the last time because I'm probably gonna have to just sell all this audio equipment in order to live pretty soon.
Well, you want to get into why?
Yeah, we will. But on the last show, I mentioned about how we were still getting some. You know, we had those fraudulent bank transactions, and I noticed how we had gotten one. We'd gotten, of all things, an errant credit on our account, which was strange. Because usually you think of fraudulent bank activity, you think of money going out. So, last Monday, I actually went to the bank because I found that calling on the phone wasn't always getting the job done.
Well, and also, the bank just opened a branch that is more nearby than the one we were using.
Yeah, they just moved.
Yeah.
They moved their main location to a location that's actually closer to us. It's easier to get to. So I went down there, and I marched in, and I said, "Y'all's need to be fixing my account, bitches." And they said, "Sir, that kind of language is not necessary." And I said, "I'm sorry." So they made me sit and wait for 45 minutes.
Aw, they gave you a timeout.
Wow. It was really weird how, five or six people came in after me. All got help before me. So, finally I got to talk to somebody, and they, I explained to them the situation, and they said, yeah, that credit, because I just kind of went, I don't really know how to treat this. I'm pretty sure it's not really my money, so I've just been ignoring it. And she said, yeah, that's pretty much accurate. She said to me, there's a chance that you might get to keep that money, but she explained to me, which makes sense. And for better or worse, the way it works when you have fraudulent activity on your account and the bank gives you a credit is pretty much the bank takes its own money and gives it to you. They kind of go, look, sort of our unspoken contract is we're the bank and we securely store your money. So if something happens to your money, we give you your money back. Well, it ain't like that's money that just comes out of, there's not a faucet that they turn on in the back room that just spills money. They give you money out of some fund that exists in the bank. And she said, so probably what's going to happen is we'll take that money back and, put it in our money. Like, it'll become bank money. And sure enough, I think the next day, that's what happened. And that's totally fine. So it's cleared up in that sense. Like, it's worked out. It's figured out. I don't have to worry about it. And then, and Jen, you didn't even know this.
Yeah, I'm wondering what the "and then" was. I thought that was the end of that story right there. Okay, sure. Just wait till we get recording
yesterday,
and talk about this kind of stuff. That's lovely.
I think it was yesterday. I noticed another credit went into the account. This was also from one of the merchants that had one of the fraudulent charges against it. So I'm going to have to go back to the bank again on Monday and tell them again that this happened. So I guess what I should just figure is there was somewhere between 4 and 6 fraudulent charges. I can't remember exactly how many.
Okay, so two have stuck money in the account when they really didn't need to do so because the bank had taken care of it. So there'll be two or more.
Two to four more.
Yeah, coming still, same routine.
It's not necessarily in itself a huge problem. Although I did have a moment where I went, you know, right now, if we were like money sharks, right, we could wait for all these credits to hit the account and then close it. You know, just cash it out.
Yeah, but they'd still figure it out eventually.
Yeah, but
that's
they wouldn't
not,
be able to get the money then. It'd be ours.
No, it's just not worth it.
But it ain't worth it. But I'm just saying, if we wanted to be like super capitalize on every moment people, we could close it, take the cash, walk out the door.
Get arrested
come
for
back.
Fraud, you know.
Nah,
yeah.
They wouldn't do anything.
Yeah, you never know.
They wouldn't do anything.
I don't think it'd be a
it's not
a,
it's not
anyway.
Enough money, because we could claim stupidity. We could just go, oh, we didn't even know that money was in there. They would never.
Well, you already went in and talked to them about the whole situation, so I think you.
Well, yeah, no,
now.
Now it's too late. I had that thought initially while I was sitting there, you know, waiting all that time.
See, these are things I would never think of, you know.
Well, that's why the checkbook stays on this side of the room.
Yeah.
Because
well, no, that's not why. It's because I can't balance one because I can't get the numbers to sit still.
And you know, we've talked before about how we have this whole legal thing we're going through. And one of the requirements that we're kind of being advised on right now is,
has to do with the amount of money in a bank account.
Yeah.
So
I don't need...
He kind of needs to be aware of exactly how much is in there at all times until it gets kind of taken care of. And additional little, hey, here's some more money is not helping that effort to kind of talk around
now,
it a little bit, you know?
Now, if it actually came up throughout
it could
the course
be verified,
of
yeah,
this
but,
whole legal thing, I could just say, look, that's not actually our money.
Yeah, I mean, it could be verified and all that, but it'd be just a lot easier to not have to deal with that.
It's just nice to have in the rundown of the bank statement that, okay, that money went in, and then that money went away. So that's why I'm going back to the bank on Monday, because it seems like, in this instance, going in there and actually talking to someone has gotten it done faster. And I'm not here to, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm being critical of the bank. We specifically made a decision earlier this year for a few different reasons.
To
go
use
from,
this particular one, so.
To go from a, you know, having our main bank account with a big national bank and going to a smaller, more, you could say local bank. You know, when you do that, and I think I mentioned this when we first talked about the fraudulent charges and how with our old bank, which was a big bank, I probably said what it was, who gives a shit, Wells Fargo. But with them, anytime I had any fraudulent activity on an account, I could just go online and fill out a form, and it was taken care of. I didn't have to do anything. And I've had to do a little more legwork to get all this taken care of with the...
But at least it's nearby, you know?
But, you know,
I mean, it's not like...
It's a small thing,
you know,
to deal with.
It's not a huge deal.
If you've been listening to this version of Hyper Nonsense, at least since the first show back in June, you kind of got the whole story of everything up to that point, as far as everything that's gone on with us. And 2014 continues to be a really interesting year. By interesting, I mean what the fuck's going on all over the place. So, As we covered in that episode, I have been unemployed this whole year, you know, other than doing some freelance work. You know, I'm not working for a particular company, and the freelance work, while much appreciated, is not a replacement for, you know, a regular paycheck, I guess. We'll put it that way. So I filed for unemployment benefits back in March. And after about 5 or 6 weeks of dealing with EDD, that's the Employment Development Department, I think is what it's called here in California. They finally actually approved my claim. It was a little wobbly there because I technically became unemployed through working as a contractor. But fortunately, they took pity on me and went back to my last job.
Well, which they do. They ask for history before that, too. Yeah. So, I mean, it's standard procedure.
So they went back to my last job and decided that even though I had left that job voluntarily, the terms were agreeable that they would give me the benefits.
Well, they did that with me, too, at one point, because they went back to a previous job that I'd left to get a second job, which is the job I lost, you know?
Right. But in your case, even with the job that you lost, you were an employee, an hourly worker.
Right, I was at that one. Yeah.
When you're a contractor, everything changes because when you're hired as an hourly worker, the assumption is your employment, you know, you're agreeing to this for the foreseeable future. And in my case, granted, I took the contract job and quit my other job, believing that the contract job wouldn't run out after a month.
Which it did.
Even though that happened.
Yeah.
So the EDD took some pity on me, I guess, gave me, you know, what really was a pretty meager amount of benefits anyway, but it was enough with the other sources of income we have to at least keep us steady in the midst of these legal things we're not talking about yet. So,
eventually we will. It's not anything terrifying or anything.
But, the way that they worded the approval of my claim and everything, I thought that my benefits would be good through March of 2015. And I'd be okay until then. And then yesterday, I got a letter from them saying, your benefits have run out, and if you are still unemployed, you can apply again. But there, it said something to the effect of that there are no extensions available. So I'm not entirely sure what this means, other than I'm still unemployed, so I'm going to apply again. But I don't actually know at this point if, you know, they're going to approve me or how long that's going to take.
Or it could be part of, from as long as I've been paying attention to this, it is not unheard of for extensions to benefits to magically disappear right around the holidays. Because if you remember last year, the U.S. government had a shutdown based on budget and things like that. And, a whole bunch of tomfoolery from people who wanted to read, you know, children's books on TV, that kind of thing. Tea Party madness. It kind of, you know, the government shut down. And when it was specifically in because the groups could not decide on a budget, to summarize greatly. So what happens when you hit this time of year is that the budget stuff comes up again, and magically everybody's unemployment claim just stops dead for a while until the lawmakers, who are getting paid all of this time for, in many cases, doing nothing. If you look at their calendar schedule of how many vacation days these guys got, they don't do a whole lot of work days at all. In any case, they'll stop paying the poorest people who desperately need it until, you know, the yahoos in Congress can figure out what they should say that might best get them elected next year and drag things out. And then sometimes it'll fix itself shortly before Christmas, but sometimes it'll fix itself after January 1st to mid-January. So it could be simply because of that. It's possible. I'd have to look it up to see if that's actually going on right now, because it didn't occur to me until now that that's a possibility. But it could be that, in which case it has nothing to do with you personally.
Well, and I never expected or suspected that it had necessarily anything to do with me. It was just a surprise because I thought I could expect to get these benefits continuing through March of next year. So,
all right, mute my mic because I'm looking that up.
Mute your mic?
Yeah, because I'm looking that up.
Okay, well, we'll probably still get the Captain Clackety Clacks over here. Maybe not. This will be a new test for the noise gate. So everybody can write in and let us know if, for the next few minutes, how well you can or cannot hear Jen's 1920s keyboard. Speaking of old-fashioned things, back with the picture shows and the streetcars and rain in California. Now, I will say that I have not paid tremendously close attention to the stubs that I've been getting from EDD from my benefits, because the way this works is they send you what's called a continued claim form every 2 weeks. You fill it out and you mail it back, and they give you a special EDD Bank of America debit card account with a debit card, and they put your money in there directly. In ye olden days, they used to actually mail you a check, but they don't do that anymore. So you can use the debit card like a debit card, or if you want to, you can transfer the funds to another bank, which is usually what I've been doing. So you get one of these forms. Are you ready to enlighten us?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear me? Okay. There's nothing going on regarding that yet. It might be a bit early. There's a lot of claims that a lot of news articles from various sources, which I kind of skimmed, saying that the amount of unemployment claims has gone down to some degree. And I haven't looked very closely at the numbers to see, but it's gone down. I don't know exactly why. Some of them imply that this means there are more jobs. They always say that, though, you know?
Well,
what they don't take into account, though, every time you hear unemployment rates have gone down, you know, magically, what they don't take into account is the number of people who have gone through their claim, aren't eligible anymore, and just aren't able to file for another claim. But it doesn't mean they have a job in our situation. So that's where it seems to be at.
And what I was working my way towards was the fact that when they send you another continued claim form to fill out, there's a little stub at the top. That's basically the receipt for the payment that they put in your account electronically. And I don't know, I haven't paid a lot of attention to those stubs. I just kind of tear them off and I scan them and then get rid of them. And it's possible that those have a running tally of how much actual fundage you have left, and I just haven't been paying attention to them. But again, the way this whole thing was worded, it was my understanding that I was going to get benefits through March of 2015 because that's what everything said on it. So some of this, I'm sure, is probably my own misunderstanding, but like anything that the government does, especially if it's in relation to a program that could potentially help you, it's unclear, and you never know how it's going to screw you over until it does. So this is kind of where I'm at. And
did they have any awareness that you occasionally do some freelance stuff?
No.
Okay, because with me, as soon as I started doing freelance, that screwed everything up. I didn't fit in their boxes anymore, so I kept getting harassing phone calls going, well, where are you working? Well, what do you mean you work for this company? They actually tried to send some kind of claim form thing to a company I was working freelance for.
Right.
And when you do freelance, you're not an employee. You're kind of a contract employee, but there's no like official contract that sounds like a teacher's contract or something. It's, you know, sort of at will. And the person or entity you're writing for and getting paid from is not your boss and is not your employer. But California EDD does not understand this.
No.
So they went so far as to send some claim to them, which, honest to God, could have lost me that gig. You know?
Yeah, and that's why I've kind of been hesitant about, and, you know, there's two reasons. As I stated earlier, first off, the freelance work I'm doing, it ain't paying much. And that's not a criticism of anything.
That's kind
it's
of
just
freelance,
a statement
yeah.
of reality. Mm-hmm. And it's not, again, it's not meant to be an actual job. It's just, it, you know, if nothing else, it's kind of meant to be just a little extra side work, and that's fine. And the other reason is exactly what you're talking about, because when you were getting unemployment benefits and you started working freelance and we reported it to them, it just became a nightmare.
It became an even bigger nightmare. They really don't like if you don't fit into their box, you know.
Yeah.
They really don't know what to do with that. And I had many of them, you know, when I said I'm doing some freelance, they said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm writing." And so many of them went, "You're not writing a book, are you?" Like that.
Yeah.
You know. And I wasn't, so, you know, there
well,
you are.
I think that the reason they ask you about that is I think in their system, they have some classification for that type of work.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think that's true at all.
No, but I think that they think that if you're writing a book, that you're getting some kind of advance. And you're getting a bunch of money up front.
Well, that's not true either.
And I don't know.
There's a bunch of people that are writing books that don't have all that. That's not logical for them to presume. But I think what it was really is that, you know, maybe, you know, there's so many people that are like, "Oh, yeah, I have this idea for a book." And it just remains an idea. They haven't worked on it for whatever reason. And so when they get the idea, like, can you imagine if your job is to harass people on the phone about unemployment claims every day? So everyone you deal with is going to be at best nervous and at worst irate, you know, talking to you. And you have absolutely no control over what you're going to ask them. You have no control of the outcome. You are specifically told to say specific phrases over and over in order to try to, you know, sort of trick people into saying something that'll make them, you know, make you deny their claim, you know, that kind of thing. That's your job. It's high stress. It's, you know, it doesn't, I can't imagine anyone would find anything satisfying about this line of work. So when they hear you're a writer, somewhere in their heads, they go, "Well, I want to be a writer. So why should we give you money to be a writer if I have to work a job, but I'm not a writer?" You know what I mean? I think it's just sheer jealousy. But I wasn't writing a book. Not really.
No,
I mean,
no.
That's not what I was getting paid for. You know, it's not what I was working as. As it turned out, you know, I wrote a blog just to like express frustration about going through unemployment. And that's going to be a book, but I didn't know that at the time, you know?
Right. Well, it's, and you know, everything is so kind of tenuous and weird right now. I mean, we kind of have with this legal thing, two hurdles really to get over. And after we get over the first one, we'll be able to talk about it more on the show, but we need to kind of get over that one first. And
that's always the case with any legal thing. It's never just one day. It's always a drawn out, tedious paper filing thing.
That will happen in the next week. If not,
right.
I mean, I'm hoping that will happen in the next week and that we'll be finished with this whole thing by the end of November. That's what my real hope is.
Mm-hmm.
And the other side of the whole situation is, at least until we get over that first hurdle, I need to remain unemployed. And
in order for things to work out. It's not like, I mean, you've tried getting work before. It's not like you're going to magically walk out the door and someone's going to hire you. That doesn't happen anymore. You know?
I mean,
but
and, you know, it's funny. I mean, I just got this news yesterday, but in recent weeks, I've you know, every time I'm out of the house, I just kind of look around, you know, and I still get emails every day from a website that posts jobs.
Oh, I get those too. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I still, every now and then, I'll look at Craigslist.
I've stopped Craigslist. I might have to go back and hope for the best, but, you know.
Just to see if there's any really great opportunities that I really shouldn't pass up on. And I haven't, you know, nothing's really jumped out at me. But the other thing is, before I do anything, we really need to get this legal thing.
And it's right. It's almost to the point where this thing can happen. So, yeah.
So once
the
we get over.
The timing of this is just.
Once we get over that hurdle, that first hurdle, then it'll be easier for me to just start, you know, slinging applications again. But then it's like, well, based on my. I mean, I applied for probably upwards of 20 jobs between January and March. I mean, I didn't file for unemployment until I really felt like I had no options left. And I just don't see, you know, based on that experience, I don't see the future looking so bright there.
Right.
And what I'm trying to say here is that's not going to be an immediate, there isn't going to be an immediate, oh, I'm just being lazy and not applying for jobs, and now that my employment's run out, I need to run out and apply for jobs, and I can safely assume I'll have one in 2 weeks.
That's, no one can safely assume that anymore. So, you know, that's not one, how things work anymore.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, okay, I'm just going to sit here and, you know, as far as our finances go, we're fine for October. And
that's all.
Maybe November's a bit of a maybe.
Yeah.
And I want to stress this. Please don't actually go to our website and find our support page and send us money. And I'm not, you know, I'm known for being sarcastic.
Yeah, no, really,
but right
just,
now,
just don't for right now.
Don't.
Maybe we should deactivate that temporarily.
Yeah.
And this will all make sense later, honestly. It will.
Yeah,
but,
maybe I'll just pull that page off the site for right now.
Pull that, and yeah, there's another.
But what I am gonna say is, if you've ever loved what we do so much that you want to express yourself in the form of a financial contribution, I have a feeling that before the end of October, if not the end of November, we're probably gonna launch a GoFundMe or something because we're gonna need some help. This is just pretty much unavoidable at this point. I mean, anything's possible, and things can change.
Yeah.
But
you know, or if you have a blog that you've been neglecting and you desperately need content.
Well, and that's the other thing.
You know,
I mean,
I can do that. That's what I do. My rates are pretty reasonable, but
if you have a web,
but that's not a, you know, a please give me money. That's a work kind of thing.
No.
But you know, if you happen to be right now sitting here going, you know, I really do need some stuff on my blog, then you know, hey, I'm available. We'll work it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do want to mention this. There's a podcast called Nerd Out Loud. I started listening to it about a month ago, and it's a really good show. And I think if you like our show, then you will like Nerd Out Loud. In fact, I would say if you like our show, you'll like their show more than ours because they actually produce content, they do interviews, and they're just a bit more fun and upbeat than we tend to be, especially lately.
So go check them out. It's Nerd Out Loud, right?
Yeah. We'll have a link to their web in our show notes for this ep. And I did a little bumper stinger thing for one of their segments. And, you know, I just did that because I'm a fan of their show and it's something I could do. And they were nice enough to kind of mention our show. So it kind of sucks, you know. We got some nice publicity for our show. And then immediately after that, we do the show where it's too hot to record a proper show.
Well,
and
that's
sound
not
quality
our fault. I mean, that's not
low.
Our fault, you know. But
and now we're here, and I'm, you know, I'm tired, and apparently, you know, finally getting all those years. You know, when I grew up, the house I grew up in, you know, both my parents smoked, and you know, so for the first major part of my life, I was just in an environment where that was what I was exposed to. So apparently now, all these years later, it was, as evidenced at the beginning of the show, it was working its way. You know, all that secondhand smoke I inhaled is finally working its way out of my lungs.
Well, that's a frightening thought.
But I don't think that's how it works. I've been out of that environment for a while. But you know, this is like we're back behind the actual microphones, and my energy level is really low. Yours is honestly about normal for you.
Yeah, it is. It's so. I've been a lot worse than this, but
that's just how it goes here for us.
Things just suck all the time, and eventually maybe just they'll suck it. Less, and then things will get better. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do want to thank them for that. It was nice of them to say some nice things about us. So we got a little bit of feedback to read here.
Oh, yeah.
Jen, please
read
it.
Let me get the screen to turn back on because it stopped. Okay. So we have a comment from Matt Sams, and this is from the Harassment Eagle show notes.
Well, it is, but it isn't. Just read that. Read it.
Okay. So it says, "We played a sound clip from a recent episode that proves we're time travelers." That's a quote. So Matt says, "That part made me think of Time Bandits. So I found the whole movie for you to watch. Enjoy." Or as they say in Spain, enjoy.
Yeah. So thanks, Matt.
More voice work from Matt there.
Yeah.
Yay. It's always fun.
We talked
but
about...
But that's kind of why not the last show, but the one before that, yeah. We were like, why did you send us the whole thing of Time Bandits? And we were trying to figure out if there was an eagle in that was somehow harassing
right.
people. Because it's been so long since I watched that. I can't really remember all the details. And so now we know why. It just has to do with, you know, time travelers made him think of Time Bandits. So now we can enjoy sure. the show, the movie. Yeah. So that was cool. Makes sense to me.
Yeah. So thank you for that, Matt. And I do want to say real quick, we love your feedback. You can go to hypernonsense.com. Leave a comment under any episode. We should think of a keyword for this show real quick. How about the thing I keep going back to because of how screwed up my voice was at the beginning of the show is Smokey. So
okay,
this will be hypernonsense.com/smokey, and that'll get you to these show notes for this app. You can leave a comment there, or you can go back into the archives and leave one for any episode you'd like. And of course, we love your iTunes reviews. hypernonsense.com/iTunes.
Yeah, and if you're giving us one, is your app working now that used to tell you all the
yeah,
ones?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I can see them all now.
Okay, so it should be easier and we won't miss them because we don't want to miss those. Those
that,
are fun.
That being stated, if you feel like you've written one and we didn't get it, send an email to show@hypernonsense.com. Let us know. If you can, maybe grab a screenshot of it so we can...
We'll just read it off that way then.
Know it.
Yeah.
We can know about it.
Mm-hmm. Because we don't want to feel like anyone's being ignored, you know?
No. We have one more thing I want to read here before we mercifully end this program.
Right, and then I have a thing.
Oh.
Remember? No.
Oh, yeah. Do your thing first.
Okay, so in a previous show, not the one where we were dying from the heat, but I think the one before that, I was talking about how angry I was that the claim I put in for disability was denied, and I was told avoid dust. You know, yeah, that one. It's there if you want to hear that again or if you missed it. Well, we've actually, you can appeal the claim. You have, is it 60 days, I think, to
right.
let it be known that you would like to appeal the claim. And you can actually do that online. So
yeah,
we've officially filed an appeal to this, so they'll have to put up with me a little bit longer. And we do have a lawyer that can handle these claims. So that's where that is right now. At the very least, even if, like, what I think is going to happen is they're going to come down to the decision and say, well, allergies don't count, so none of this matters. I think that's what they're really going to do, because if they don't realize that allergies can be serious, then they're never going to include it. It won't fit the little boxes on their forms. You know, they can't think outside of those boxes, anything government. So I think it's going to come down to that anyway. But since I know I'm right, and I know that, like, things happen to me because of my allergies that don't happen to most people. Like, I woke up with hives yesterday, you know?
Just for no reason.
No reason. I have no idea from what. Woke up with hives. It was lovely. Things like this is not normal. I would say disabled. I had to take medication right away that certainly didn't let me drive and really didn't let me work either, you know? So if the, you know, if Social Security Disability wants to say that my experience is indicative of what all Americans experience and is totally normal, at the very least, I'm going to harass them with a lawyer and take up more of their time. Hopefully it'll come out, you know, the way it should, that I'll get something, because I am, you know, for all intents and purposes, disabled in many ways. I can't even leave the freaking house without getting sick anymore. So that's where that is, you know, lawyering up, and we'll see where it goes.
Right. So let's finish on this, and I do want to put a bit of a warning on this.
Uh-oh. It has to what do... What is this?
Well, it has to do with spiders.
Okay, that's a fair warning. There are people that are afraid of spiders. I can think of someone who might be listening that doesn't like spiders. So, yes, you, tune this part out. Come
really,
back later if you want to, when we're
really,
disclosing the show.
If you really don't like spiders... This is going to be the last thing in the show, so you may as well just stop listening, because we're just going to do the regular
I think I might have a glimpse as to what this could be. So if it's you that I'm talking to right now, and you know who you are, that really does not like spiders, just come back next show, because this is not going to be something you'll enjoy.
So here we go. Family was driven from their suburban St. Louis home by thousands of venomous spiders that fell from the ceiling and oozed from the walls.
Oozed from the walls. That's a new descriptor. And they were venomous spiders. They weren't just spiders, huh?
Brian and Susan Trost bought the $450,000 home.
Wow.
Overlooking two golf holes at Whitmore Country Club in Weldon Spring in October 2007. Soon afterwards, started seeing brown recluse spiders everywhere.
Oh, those are bad. Yeah.
Once when showering, Susan Trost dodged a spider as it fell from the ceiling and washed down the drain. She told St. Louis television station KMOV-TV in 2012, spiders started bleeding out of the walls, and at least two pest control companies were unable to eradicate the infestation.
Now, how is that possible?
The couple filed a claim in 2008 with their insurance company, State Farm, in a lawsuit against the home's previous owners for not disclosing the brown recluse problem. At a civil trial in St. Charles County, October 2011, University of Kansas biology professor Jamal Sandige, considered one of the nation's leading brown recluse researchers, estimated there were between 4,500 and 6,000 spiders in the home.
Oh my God, that's a lot.
Making matters worse, he said, those calculations were made in the winter when spiders are least active.
So as it warms up, there'll be more.
The jury awarded the couple slightly more than $472,000, but the former owners declared bankruptcy. The insurance company still didn't pay anything, and the couple moved out 2 years ago. The home, now owned by the Federal National Mortgage Association, was covered with 9 tarps this week, and workers filled it with gas that permeated the walls to kill spiders and eggs. There'll be nothing alive in there after this, said Tim McCarthy, president of the company, hired to fix the problem once and for all. So there you go.
So they're going to kill all the spiders, but now that this stuff has permeated the walls, can humans live there ever again safely? Or will that toxic stuff be coming out as soon as, like, the weather gets warm or whatever?
My assumption is...
Just knock it down and start over, you know?
That's kind of my thinking. I mean, the spiders have... I mean, they've essentially taken over that house. You know, you see this usually, though, with... You know, you see things like the various hoarder shows where someone has decided that it would be a really good idea to have, you know, a few hundred rabbits living in their house.
Oh, there is one like that, yes. And the rabbits have, like, rats. Chewed all the walls and built their own tunnels in them.
Yeah, I mean,
they've,
and, you know, those animals have just taken over the house.
Yeah, there's one where the rabbits were digging into the floorboards and having their babies there. And
yeah.
Because if they were outside, that's what they would be doing, right. You know. They were doing everything that rabbits would normally do. They were just inside a house.
But in this case, I mean, because in those cases, at one point you just decide, okay, all the bun buns got to go. And they have the ASPCA or whatever come out with a truck full of cages. And they take the bunnies off and hopefully find them new homes. But this is, you know, we're not talking about cute, cuddly pets. We're talking about deadly spiders that number in the hundreds of thousands.
Right. And I mean, I like spiders, but I don't really want to share a home with that many of them, especially if they're venomous.
Yeah.
You know?
So you hit a point and you just go, okay, they've covered this house in 9 tarps. They've filled it with tons and tons of noxious gas that I guess at some point they can air it out enough that it can be safe for people and other, you know, and the types of pets people might have to live in it safely. But I mean, all of this is going to have to be disclosed. I mean, the thing that they've decided is it's worth trying to save versus just knocking it down. So their belief is, even with this spider-rich history, someone will come along and buy the house, and you know the mortgage company that currently holds it is going to be able to make a profit.
Or the mortgage company is saying, we just won't say anything. They can Google it.
Well, yeah, that's always a possibility as well, but I think at this point, considering the press that this story has gotten, that's going to be hard for them. They would be taking a major risk by not disclosing it. But it's one of those things that you think about where you know something bad has happened in, you know, a house or an apartment or whatever, and it gives you that kind of double moment of pause where you're all ready to go and you just think to yourself, I don't know about this. And no matter what all the logical and practical assessments you can make of the situation are, you just think, I don't know if I can do it. Can I really trust? I mean, I guess you'd have to, like, I would call that guy from the university, the recluse expert. And I would go, all right, what's your fee to come to my house and crawl in every last, you know, crawl space, attic, room, closet, anywhere we can cut a hole that a human can fit through that you'd be willing to go into and tell me that you see no sign of an infestation anymore. Because that's at least someone who I think would be able to see all the smallest details.
Right, but I think I'd also want to ask him, how likely is this to happen again?
Yeah,
you know, because I mean, obviously there were quite a few of those kinds of spiders in that area, okay?
Yeah.
So is this an area that's just especially awesome for these little guys to grow and you know, make many more spiders in? Or what was the deal? How did they, you know, I don't think a spider naturally wants to, like, build an entire, like, I don't know, metropolis inside someone's house.
No.
So, like, why are they in the house? Like, what is it about?
Happen?
You know, is it because this is the only structure out here for a very large space and this was already a space known to have those spiders? Or, you know, like, how did this occur? And, you know, I think the guy that knows the most about recluse spiders might be able to figure out why they were there and why they liked the house and if it could happen again, you know?
Actually, I just figured out why the house was overrun by venomous spiders.
Why?
It's clearly on an Indian burial ground.
Well, I've read somewhere that most of the United States kind of is, so, yeah.
True enough.
Uh-huh.
So, thanks, everybody, for listening. Hyper Nonsense is our pod. You can go to hypernonsense.com. visit our webs. You can leave us comments on there. We'd love for you to do that. It's really the only thing that might actually bring us any joy at this point in our lives. Honestly.
Aw, as the sad trombone plays. Yeah. Yeah.
You can email us, show at hypernonsense.com. You can follow us on Twitter, at hypernonsense. And if you go to hypernonsense.com/subscribe, you can see all the different ways you can find the show. You can just grab the plain old RSS feed, plug it into your pod subscription system of choice, or Spreaker, TuneIn, iTunes, Stitcher. The links are all there. And if you are listening somehow, maybe you just went to the website, you played it off the site, and you're thinking to yourself, boy, I'd love to subscribe to this show, but it ain't in the thing I use. Well, let us know what it is, and we'll figure out a way to get it in there. So, thanks, everybody. With any luck, we'll be back with you next week.
And hopefully we'll have more, at least definitive things to say, if not necessarily ecstatically positive.
I would be happy to just have more energy than I have today.
Oh, I can relate to that. That's my life, man. You get used to it, though, after a while.
Okay. We can go now.
Bye, people.